Hardly anything needs to be said after that, is there? But what kind of preacher would I be if I didn't? Let's just pray for a minute. God, we cannot thank you enough for your grace and your mercy. And we have seen that on full display together this morning. And we are in awe at the beauty of your capacity to rescue, to bring us home. At the way you breathe your freedom and life into us by your Spirit. God, we are amazed. And yet we also know this is just a glimpse of all that you are doing. We pray, God, that you would stir in our hearts, that we would not be passive observers, but that rather we would be inspired by your Spirit alive in us, that we would be a part of your work here, that you would empower our witness, that others would be drawn to you, and that together we would become more like you. Do that work in us now. Would you make this good news come alive in us today? In these moments, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's pretty amazing, really, isn't it? Did you see all of those stories that were unfolding? How God is working in family. It's shown us in a wife who herself was just recently baptized, baptizes her husband and brings him into her forever family. It's the story of a youth leader just being transparent and honest with his own life and seeing what God does in the life of a student while they're away at camp. And then they see Jesus lived out in his life after that. It's the story of somebody who caught somebody in a moment of vulnerability and pulled them into their group and walked together on the journey. Did you see the stories that unfolded there? There were the stories of those who went down into the water for sure. Don't miss the beauty of those stories. But there were the stories of those who put them there as well. And that person who baptized them represents one of many people that God had used in that person's life, drawing, wooing, speaking, showing, bearing witness to the glory and the greatness of God, and welcoming that person home. See, this is a piece of the story that is not reserved for a special few. It's a part of the story for each and every one of us who ourselves have been claimed by Christ, who bear the mark of his grace, however imperfectly, from day to day, who have experienced the transformation of the Holy Spirit alive in us. It is our story too. And as we've been looking at this over the last 10 weeks, we've been saying, what is it that we get to be a part of? It's those stories of the rescuing, healing, and freeing work of God. And we get to be a part of that. You and I get to be a part of that. I know some of you are probably sitting here and it feels a little bit, I don't know. Right? Because you know yourself. You know your life. You know that when you begin to talk to people, particularly when you're talking about important stuff, it just seems to just come out in stutters and spurts and stops, and it doesn't even make sense to you, let alone to anybody else. And so you know, like, I don't talk well. So it probably isn't for me. There's a piece of you that you know, like, you know what you did just yesterday and last night. You know the thoughts that seem to consume your head, and so you go, oh, that's not for me. Like, you know the stuff that you did, and you feel like Jesus has rescued you, but just barely by the skin of your teeth. Like, you were just about to make the cut where even Jesus would say, no, you go away, I don't want you. And you just barely made it in, and so you're just glad to be in. And so you sit here this morning, and you think, that's wonderful, I love seeing that, but there's no way that I could be a part of it. You are fully feeling inadequate to the task ahead. Have you ever felt inadequate to what was before you? Oh, I hate the feeling of inadequacy. I hate that feeling more than just about any feeling in the entire world. Sometimes it happens when you hold your child for the first time and you realize that you are fully inadequate to be the parent that this child needs. Sometimes it's when you drop your kid off as a freshman in high school for the first time and they're walking into this whole new world. You think, I am totally inadequate to be this kid's parent. It's the moment you walk into a job that you've been gunning for, but you realize is bigger than you and your hope, and nobody else realizes, but you walk in, and the first time you turn the key to your business, you go, I am totally inadequate for this. It's the time that your husband, your wife has hurt you so deeply, and you say, I know I need to forgive you, but I am so inadequate for the task ahead. Right, there are these moments that catch us in life where we are overwhelmed by the inadequacy. None nor more so than when we are confronted with the power of the kingdom of God on the move in this world. Where we say, I'm so glad it reached me, but I am inadequate. For those of you who don't feel like you've got enough, who frankly know that you don't have enough and you feel the weight of not being enough, for those of you who aren't enough, the good news that we proclaim today is that in the Holy Spirit you have everything you need. There's a story from the New Testament book of Acts that captures this whole thing so beautifully. I want us to read it together. It's in Acts chapter 3. Last week we looked at the Holy Spirit, and in the Holy Spirit he breathes into us a brand new purpose. And that purpose is that we would join him in his missionary endeavor in the world. And there are some of you that looked at me a little bit cross-eyed in that, and you're like, no, if you knew me, you would know that this isn't really about me. But then look at this story in Acts chapter 3, just a couple of chapters later. When we talked last week, there was this moment where Jesus said, go, wait, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, right? So we left them in the midst of the waiting and the hopefulness and even the expectation of what would happen when the Holy Spirit comes on them. In Acts chapter 2, we see the Holy Spirit coming on them, and amazing things happen. And it's very specific, as Luke writes this in Acts, he's very specific, and it said the Holy Spirit came in what looked like tongues of fire that fell on each person. Because again, they had a notion that the Holy Spirit would come, and that's going to be amazing, but the Holy Spirit is only for special people. It's only for the really good, like the really holy people, special people, like prophets of the days of old. They got the Holy Spirit, but not for the rest of us. But when they were in that room, they saw the Holy Spirit like tongues of fire that touched each of them. This is God's promise coming true, right? And so now, like imagine that they had just kind of received this Holy Spirit. There's this fresh empowerment that they have in their lives. And now they kind of want to take this bad boy for a spin. Like, let's open her up and see what she can do kind of moments. And so we see that here. And so here's Peter and John taking a walk. Acts chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple for the time of prayer. It was 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when Peter and John were about to enter, he called out to them. He asked them for money. Now Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them, right? Like, I'm asking you for money. You say, look at me. I'm looking at you with my hand open. Then Peter said this. He said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. They knew the guy that he had been lame since birth, and here he was leaping and jumping. This is a powerful story of what it looks like to live a life fully surrendered and empowered by God. This is what it looks like to live a life where their identity is grounded in who God is as their Father and they are His children. To have character that is refined into the character of a servant, the character of the Son. And to welcome the Holy Spirit into their lives and to live out the missionary endeavor of God with the Spirit. Right? This is what that life looks like. And I find myself captured by that. I mean, think about it. Like, what did they have? Like, they could have walked into this, and had I walked into that same place, I would have felt very inadequate. Like, the inadequate would have been dripping from me. Here's this guy. I've probably seen him before because I've been in there to pray. I've gone into the temple courts before. I've probably passed by this guy. I recognize him, and he's there. He's begging. He's saying, just, I can't earn money. Will you give me something? And I got nothing. Like, in those moments of inadequacy, I want to walk by. Right? Sometimes it might even be somebody who's on the street who's asking you for money or asking you for help, and so you find your reason in the car to change the radio. So you don't even have a radio, but you change the radio station, and we look the other way. We just keep them at 10 and 2 and keep face forward, and we kind of pretend that they're not even there. We walk by on the other side of the street. Like, we know what it is to feel the inadequacy, and so here they are. They're confronted by their own poverty. Hey, have you got some money? Can you give me some money? I need to eat. But they don't do what I normally do when confronted by my own inadequacy. They stop and they look at him. See, they recognize that they were in a different position than they were even just a few days ago. They were in a different position. Because while they might have been inadequate to answer his immediate question, they had something that would give him so much more. Like with Jesus, people asked for the healing. He had done enough for the healing that they had transitioned from going, hey, Jesus, can you spare a buck, to Jesus, can you make me walk? And they saw Jesus do that stuff. And here they were, confronted by their own inadequacy, and all most of us heard was, hey, mister, can you spare a buck? See, but for those who recognize their own inadequacy, for those who know that they've got nothing to give, what they knew is that the Spirit gives you all you need. I love that line. Circle it in there in verse 6. They owned their own inadequacy. Silver or gold, I do not have. I don't. My pockets are empty. The thing that you're asking for, I don't have it. But see, it's recognizing our inadequacy that opens the door to what comes next. And while the beginning of that statement is silver or gold, I do not have, read on. But what I do have, I give you. This is one of the things that's a problem for me. I often think that I have enough. That I've got some money so I can meet your financial need. I've got a little bit of time so I'm going to meet your need for companionship. I've got some words that can encourage you when you feel down, and so I'm going to give you a little bit of that. The problem is I often don't get to the second part of that statement because I fool myself into believing the first doesn't apply to me. But when I understand the first part, that sells silver or gold I don't have, then we can get to the second part that says, but what I do have, I give. At the very moment that I give out of my plenty, I have fallen short of experiencing the power of God present in any situation. At the moment that I acknowledge my weakness, my vulnerability, and my inadequacy, the door is open to experience what only God can do in a moment. And so I love how Peter and John reach past the request into the heart of this man. He says, silver or gold I don't have. That must have been disappointing for him at first. Like, I just asked you for a buck and you don't have a buck? Just give me a dollar. Silver or gold I don't have for you. But what I do have, I give you. And they say those words. I suspect that those words haven't really worked for them before. I mean, you've seen times where they wrestled with healing. They couldn't do it, and Jesus needs to come along and do what they couldn't do. There were times when they'd heard Jesus say these words, but they were a little bit skeptical. Like, Jesus, the guy's just asking for a dollar. Let's go on, and you're going all the way. But they didn't shirk back. They didn't coil back. They didn't stutter at all. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. It gives me shivers just to imagine that moment. Imagine the audacity of that moment, the boldness and the courage of that moment, friends, that doesn't come from human origin. To even utter the word, walk, to a lame man is foolishness, is it not? We're much too sophisticated for that. But in our sophistication, what we often do is we drop a buck in the hat and keep on walking. But what that person needs is a touch of the kingdom of God alive today. In God's plan A for the world experiencing the fullness of who He is you, empowered by His Spirit. That we would walk around with pockets outstretched and saying, in and of myself, I got nothing, but what I have, I give you. Now walk. Now see. Now hear. Now live. Now know freedom from your sin and shame. Right? That's what we have to offer. The best that we have to offer is not what we can muster up ourselves. The best of what we have to offer is what He has given us. Ryan talked about this life rhythm several weeks ago. This rhythm in our lives where we receive abundantly and share extravagantly. See, we can only give what we have received. And we can only receive when we put ourselves in a posture of humility and receptivity before Him. But it's as we receive out of the abundance of God that we're able to share in the extravagance of His Spirit. See, this is a picture of what it looks like. Wouldn't that be something? For you and I to be the people that could walk around and to be able to live a life that says, what I have in myself isn't enough, but what God has given me is all that you need. Here you are. And we think about what this begins to look like. You know, God has given us through His Spirit. He has given us the fullness of His love. He has given us the fullness of His truth. He has given us the fullness of His power. And through His Spirit, He has given us His presence. So that which we receive in abundance, the love, truth, power, and presence of God, is that which we can share in extravagance, the love, truth, power, and presence of God. And so into those situations where you might feel inadequate, the Holy Spirit pushes you and stirs you and says, go, walk there and offer them what I alone can give. And how you love people. Remember, love is not about warm, fuzzy feelings. Love is about moving towards them for their good, and their ultimate good is reconciliation towards God. That you would move towards them with truth, anchored in the love of God. The truth is revealed through Christ in Scripture. This is who Jesus is. This is what He came to do. This is what He did for God's glory and for the good of His people. And this is the promise of God anchored in the person of Christ. It's the truth that is laid out for us. This good news that we get to revel in and day out. It's the power of God alive in us. And there'll be those moments where He empowers us simply to speak these words that did not come from ourselves. And there are times where He will answer bold, audacious prayers in His power. In any of the moments that I've prayed and seen somebody receive healing, it's always been somewhat surprising to me. It doesn't happen every time I pray by any means, but in those moments when it does, there's the power of God that's breaking through in a moment of healing and restoration. Sometimes that healing is a healing of the body that is temporal, and other times it's a healing of the soul, which is eternal. It's the part that lasts forever. But God is a healing God, and His power is the one who breaks chains that hold people fast, and His power is that which heals and restores that which has been stolen, broken, and made sick. And it's simply His presence, the power of being near, the power of being with, when empowered by the Holy Spirit, is itself the kingdom touching down. Friends, this is a life you and I have been invited into. And part of this game, the question is, are you in? Like, are you in? For the past several weeks, about 10 weeks, we've been talking CP4NE. This recognition that we are not here for our own good. We are not here simply to receive God's blessing, but that we are blessed by God to be a blessing to the world around us. And we live in a region of the country that is the most unchurched region of the United States of America. The most unchurched region of our entire country. We live in the middle of it. And people in our region that have thumbed their nose at God, or worse, they've turned their back on him and rejected his righteousness and holiness, and they've taken on for themselves the foolishness of man-made wisdom. It's into that world that God sends us, that God sends his people. And so we ask ourselves the question, like, what do I do? Right? We ask ourselves that question because so often it seems like it ought to be more. Like it ought to be this some secret thing that ought to be more. And what Scripture lays out for us, it's somewhat simple. It's somewhat simple. What do we do with this? We're invited to live and share a life-changing relationship with Jesus. What else would we do? Right? As we embrace this life-changing relationship for Jesus for ourselves, we recognize that it is a daily posture of humility and repentance. Repentance is not just a one-time thing that I do and to get in. Repentance is a posture where I fall before the King of the universe, acknowledging that my way is not the way, that your way, God, is the way, and I put myself before you in humility. That's the daily spirit of repentance. And in that daily spirit of repentance, we learn what it is to walk with him. To walk with, to live in the reality of this life-changing relationship with Jesus. But we don't just live it, we share it. That everywhere we live, work, and play, every piece of ground that we step on is the missionary turf of God, where we not only receive this life-changing relationship, but we are here to help others live in it. Yes, making one-time decisions to follow him, but also learning to live in that, learning to listen and obey. That's the life of disciple. That we would listen and obey, that we would listen and obey. And we get to help others learn to listen and obey. In evangelistic conversations, in encouraging, in correcting conversations with the people in us that we're in community with on a regular basis, or the people that we run into at the grocery store for one time. Everywhere we go, we are living and sharing this life-changing relationship with Jesus. What does this relationship with Jesus look like? What do we actually have as a part of this? When we come into the fullness of this relationship, he gives us a new identity. No longer is my identity as a slave. No longer is my identity as a sinner. No longer is my identity as one who is only as one who has fallen short. But he has drawn me into this new place where his spirit gives me the spirit of sonship, where he gives us the spirit of adoption, and now we are known as sons and daughters of the Most High God. No longer am I known by my shame and my brokenness. No longer am I known by my accolades and my strength, but I am known by my Father who calls me his child. And we together are his family. And we begin to live together as family under the headship and the lordship of our Father. And so he births in us, when we come into this relationship with him, this new identity. He births in us through the power of the Son coming alive in us. We take on the character of a son. Jesus, in his righteousness, his holiness, his goodness, took on the character of a servant. And we walk towards this day. We open ourselves up to this day when the Holy Spirit would move in us, that the Son of God, his character would be birthed in us, and that we would become more like Jesus. As we become more like Jesus, we too take on the character of a servant. Faithful, truthful, gentle, kind, loving, peaceful. Right? This is the character of a servant alive in us. And as the Holy Spirit births itself in us, he invites us into his missionary endeavor in the world. The Holy Spirit is God's missionary agent in our world. He invites us to come along with him. Not that we would lead the way and invite the Holy Spirit to come along like a begrudging dog on a leash, but rather we would look where he's at work and we would follow in behind. That we would be the skier behind the boat, staying in the calmness of the wake that he leads out with. That we would follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and that we would go where he goes, that we would say what he says, that we would do what he does. Like even Jesus was that. Jesus said, I only say what my Father tells me to say. I only go where my Father tells me to go. I only do what my Father tells me to do. You and I could live that kind of life too as we join him in this missionary endeavor. The world in which we live is not our home. We often think about being a missionary in terms of like going to a different country, right? Like we go to Mexico to be missionaries. We go to Honduras to be missionaries. We go to we go to Asia to be missionaries. But we're in America. We're home. That's actually part of the problem. Because we've convinced ourselves that we're home. Part of becoming a missionary in the Spirit of God is to recognize that we are not home. That we are foreigners in this land. That the values of the world in which we live are not our values. That the priorities of this world in which we live are not our priorities. We are from another place. Not in a rip the mask off and surprise it's a green alien kind of way. But in a way that our citizenship has been transferred from citizenship in this world to citizenship in the world to come. But we still live here as foreigners and aliens. When we understand that, it shapes our worldview. And when we understand that we are not of this world, but we live in this world, then we can understand that we have been called as his missionaries to this world. What we've been talking about these last 10 weeks is not about an app. Download the latest app. It's shiny, it's sparkly, it's bright, you're going to like it. What we've been talking about is the entire operating system. It's a new way of thinking about life and life together. Now, it does influence what we do, not only in ourselves, but in what we are and who we are as a church. It's already begun to influence who we are. Some of you have asked the question, like, what's the program we're going to start? Like, we got Centerpoint, and then we got this whole CP4 anything. I would ask you to look at this very differently. Instead of looking at it, here's Centerpoint, here's the CP4 anything, what I would want us to look at is bring those things together. And the totality of what we do and the fullness of who we are is an expression of God's missionary endeavor in this world. And so what do we do in order to do this thing? Everything. Everything. It actually is woven into the very fabric of how we gather on a Sunday morning. It's woven into the very fabric of what we do with our kids and our students. Did you see it there in the baptism stories? That's a taste of what this looks like. It's woven into the very fabric of how we do pantry and group life. It's woven into the fabric of how we pray together and seek together. It's woven into the very fabric of how we sit around a table together as family in our homes, with our kids, with our grandkids, with our nieces and nephews, with our brothers and sisters, with our moms and dads. See, it's woven into the very fabric of who we are as a worshiping community, as a community on mission, and as families who are banded together living the missionary endeavor of God in our day. Everything we do is being oriented around this reality. I actually want to talk with a little bit more specificity about that. A week from today, Sunday night, 5:30 p.m., right here in this room. And we're going to begin to talk a little bit more about the specificity of what does this begin to look like in the organizational nature and structures of our church. I cannot wait to share with you more about that. But at the heart of this, let's never forget that this isn't about a program. It's about a people and who we are becoming. It's not an app. It's an operating system. It's how we think. It's how we live. And we're going to make our way there. We certainly aren't all the way there now, are we? And I suspect it'll take more than a couple of weeks and a couple of good talks or even a couple of good songs. It's going to take time for us to walk down this road. But it is a road that we will walk down. And we will walk down together. Why? What else would we do? I mean, seriously, what else would we do? You think about your life. You could spend your time and make some money. Build a reputation, have a good fat 401k and a retirement that you've always dreamed about. Or you can give your life to building the stories that we saw here this morning. What do you want to do? We could be a good little church on the corner. We could anchor the historic district of downtown Concord, New Hampshire, just fine. We could open our doors on a weekly basis and make people feel happy. But why? Why would we do that when we get to be a part of building stories like this? Why would we do that when we get to be a part of something that God would do in changing a region and expressing himself to millions of people who right now are turning their back on him? Why would we do that? Why would we settle for that? The short answer is, we won't. Will you take this journey with me? It's daunting. It will not require just a little bit from you. It will require all that you have, which is nothing, right? Because I don't come with what I have. I come to the table only with what he gives me. And through his Holy Spirit, he has given me, he has given you everything. Let me pray for us. Father, settle us in the spectacular nature of your love. Show us who you are and show us who we are in you. And may we look back on these days and know that we have met with you. May we get to the end of our days and look back and have seen you do the spectacular. We give ourselves to you. Do so in the name of our King. Amen and amen.